this week's interview is with CJ Ortiz of Metal Motivation. And CJ, give everybody a little bit of background who may not know who you are, and a background on what Metal Motivation actually is and how it started.
Metal Motivation is a project that I started. It launched actually officially on Halloween, October 31st of 2009. That's simply because I wanted to be able to celebrate the anniversary on Halloween every year. In fact, the first ad that we ran said, because the tagline of the site was Metal Motivation Daily Screams for Living Aggressively, so I advertised that the screaming would begin on Halloween. And at that time, social media was still growing, so there wasn't a lot of people who were doing the sort of thing that I was doing. And so that made me unique in and of itself, but then you add to it the metal part. What essentially it is the short answer I tell people, it's like Tony Robbins meets Metallica. I don't claim, you know, to have the metal philosophy. There are as diverse philosophies and ideologies and worldviews as there are genres of metal. So I'm not so arrogant as to believe that because I call myself the Metal Motivator or Metal Motivation that somehow anything I say represents metal in any stretch. It's really just a guy who does this sort of thing, personal development motivation. I just happen to be someone who loves heavy metal. And so, I tell people this. I say, you know, nobody would really listen to something like heavy metal if it was a destructive force in their life. So to the outsider, and you would recognize this, they kind of look at us and say, dude, you really think metal is motivating? Well, it's like, man, we wouldn't listen to it if it wasn't motivating. That doesn't mean the lyrics have to be motivating.
Right.
You know, you can get into some brutal death metal that will definitely get your blood pumping. It has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
It just has to do with the attitude and the edge and all of these things. So I tell people, listen, what metal did for me is what I'm doing for others. That's the easiest way I can say it.
Right.
Metal was a positive influence in my life, so I want to do that same thing. I'm doing it more just through didactic instruction and, you know, empowerment and attitude and that sort of thing, whereas a band will do it, obviously, first and foremost through music, then secondly through the lyrics, and then thirdly, you know, any other kind of backstage footage or whatever commentary that they happen to give. But, you know, you find anybody in the history of heavy metal music and even rock and roll, but especially metal, it's been an uphill climb the whole way, mm-hmm. never getting airplay, you know what I mean? Always in the margins, always having to tour to make a difference, you know, just trying to get by. So there's no way metal could have started from Sabbath and get to where it is today as an international phenomena if they didn't believe in themselves, have vision, follow through, work their asses off, keep their attitude straight, and do the best they can. That's all that it is. It's not a crutch. It's not because somebody follows CJ the Metal Motivator doesn't mean they need to be told what to do, doesn't mean they're in search of themselves, doesn't mean any of that. I don't say anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just give people principles and tools to help them live and be the badass that they already are, but they've just allowed some things to get in and clutter that. But that's basically what it is.
Now, you talked about daily screams for living aggressively, CJ, and if someone were to come and ask you, what does that mean? What does living aggressively mean? How would you explain it to them?
Well, you realize that, you know, the clock is ticking on the only life you've got. There is no do-over, so you've got to make shit happen, and you got to make it happen now. Life only responds to those who try to take it. You know, life is merciless. Life can steamroll you. We all know that. All the worst things that have ever happened to us, you know, happened unexpectedly. And life, there is no promise. I'm not one of those motivational speakers that's going to blow sunshine up your ass. You know, I'm not going to tell you that life is a treasure chest and all these things. Life has tremendous things to offer. But for most of us, we've experienced a hell of a lot of pain, obstacles, hindrances, and setbacks. But since time limits things, and it limits resources, and people try to take, and this sort of thing, you're going to have to be much, much more aggressive, but aggressive in a healthy way. not in a way that causes you to strive in your own heart, not in a way that causes you to lose your happiness or your peace or anything like that, but just knowing that you're wired and gifted and enabled and strong, and you can possess what's rightfully yours by maximizing all that you are, all that you can do. Be passionate about it. You know, don't let days and minutes and moments go by that you don't take advantage of things. And I think, you know, we all, when we get older, face the possibility of regret. And one of the big regrets that's always going to stand out is lost time. And only an aggressive sort of attitude, again, a healthy aggression, is going to enable someone to really begin to, you know, carpe diem, as they say, really begin to seize every moment and every day. So that's basically what aggression means to me.
Now, what ended up inspiring you to start the Metal Motivation, and really what ended up motivating you to do something like this?
Well, I had more of a spiritual background, and I did that for a number of years, and I got sort of disillusioned with the institutional aspects of that. But I love the principles. You know, I love the principles of motivation and self-improvement and all these sorts of things. And about 2007, I was, there's something else that I do. I've been self-employed all my adult life, so I do marketing and communications and design and advertising and branding. And so I was talking to another life coach, and he was wanting to promote his business, and we had met through some mutual friends. And so we started to talk about that. I was going to help him do this. But because I also had this penchant, this interest, he and I would talk about motivational philosophies. Well, very quickly, he said, dude, I really like what you're saying. It's sort of a similar attitude or mindset to me. You know, would you like to do something together? And I said, you know, that'd be great. I said, I have this idea I want to do. I already had the domain. It was called 10timesmore.com. Now, much later, a guy by the name of Grant Cardone would write a book called The 10X Rule. And people always ask me, is that where you got that from? I said, no, I was saying something similar to that beforehand. I had actually gotten it from the special operations military, that you're all capable of 10 times more. So that was the thing I was going to go with. It wasn't going to be Metal Motivation. It was just going to be called 10 times more. Well, by the end of 2007, this other guy decided to run for Congress. And so he bowed out. You know what? It's really your baby anyway, man. You take it. So I came in to 2008 just thinking, I kind of like the idea of doing this with someone else. So I eventually hit up an old friend of mine that I used to play music with back in the 80s and told him about it. He thought it was a great idea. And I said, well, maybe you consider doing this with me. He said, yeah. Well, I had seen someone else on YouTube, and he looked like a punk rock kind of guy. But you could tell he was a videographer because he shot his video very well. And he was talking about that law of attraction, the secret kind of stuff. And I thought, you know, that's a good idea. I like his approach to things, although if I was to do it, I would do it more metal. So that's what I said to myself. I would do it more metal. And so I thought, huh. And I just kind of wrote down on a piece of paper right next to my desk, I just said, Metal Motivation. And that's kind of how it started. And so I was just going to do it as a book originally. And but then I thought, well, nobody really knows me for this, so forget the book, I'll start a blog. But then again, this is kind of a little pre-social media, so, you know, getting traffic, because nobody sits down behind the keyboard and Googles, I wonder if there's a heavy metal motivational guy out there. Mm-hmm. They just typically look for the subject. Well, I just thought, you know, if I'm going to do this, I need to be able to push the idea out there instead of people searching for it. So social media came to the fore, and it was really the perfect environment. It's a place where you can push ideas into the marketplace rather than waiting for people to find you. And so that was sort of the track. And so for that, from July of 2008 till the launch date of October 31st, 2009, I just got a lot of my writing done, shot videos, got a lot of the graphics and the imagery, and then I just officially launched on Halloween in 2009.
Now, where can people find your motivational stuff? You know, maybe give up your website. You know, I know you sell some, you know, recordings as well, you know, with stuff that people can listen to. And, you know, maybe tell everybody about where they can find your website at and plug the stuff you have online.
Yeah, I mean, the website is metalmotivation.com. Of course, a lot of stuff is posted daily on Facebook, and that's a great way to connect. Facebook and Instagram are two great ways to connect with it on a daily basis, because I'll post all kinds of stuff, status updates, quote cards, videos, and, you know, all sorts of things. So that's really the best place to connect daily. But you can go to metalmotivation.com. You'll find videos. You'll find audio teaching products. You'll find my coaching group, mm-hmm. You know, all that sort of stuff. So those are really the two best places to go.
One of the biggest things that affected me, CJ, was the fact that, you know, you said something on your Facebook page and even on your website that the person that you look in the mirror is your biggest obstacle. And that really affected me, because it really made me look in the mirror and realize that, yeah, you know, I'm holding myself back. And, you know, with the people that you speak to and that you've talked to, do you find that this is the most common problem, that, you know, people are holding themselves back and are really not maximizing their capability?
Oh, you're exactly right. Yeah, I mean, I posted this morning, I said, you know, the entire philosophy of success could be whittled down to one thing: how good you are at beating the hell out of your inner voice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are basically the biggest obstacle in our own way. It's not, you know, as they say, the size of the mountain you've got to climb. It's really, you know, you are the mountain that's got to be climbed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on top of any mountain that you face is a stronger you. And people do. They stand in their way, their own way. And sometimes it's not just negative thinking. That's obviously a part of it. But people can be hindered by all sorts of things. There are people, for example, who are hindered by guilt. Guilt is a huge thing for them. They simply don't feel they deserve anything. Now, they can look at somebody else who's living the life they want to live, achieving the things they want to achieve, experiencing things that they want to experience, and they can say to that person, well, that person deserves it, but I don't. And it's like the old saying that says, you know, something is too good to be true. Mm-hmm. Well, it's nothing is too good to be true if someone else is doing it or living it or has it. Mm-hmm. So it's not too good to be true. What you mean to say is it's too good to be true for you. Mm-hmm. And you have to answer the question, why? Why is it too good to be true for you? Now, somebody will initially start with, well, I've got, you know, I don't have any money, or I never went to college and I've been in dead-end jobs. I'm too old. Whatever the reason may be, they're going to point to circumstances. Circumstances don't matter, because you are the only circumstance that matters. If you truly believe in yourself, and you understand how much power you've got inside you right now, and most people don't. That's why I did the thing originally as 10 times more, because you're capable of 10 times more than what you're experiencing right now. For example, I could, you know, if you've ever heard of the kind of brutal selection process that they put young sailors through who want to become Navy SEALs, it's just absolute brutality, man, and most people quit within the first few days. But about 4 weeks into it, they get to this one stage they call Hell Week, and it literally is. I mean, these guys have to go without sleep for days. They're doing grueling exercises and things that are just inhuman, man, for days and hours on end. I mean, and that's where they really begin to separate the wheat from the chaff. Well, I could take a young, frail, you know, 5'2", 24-year-old single mother, okay, and put her in that Navy SEALs program and make her go through it and get her to the place where one of two things will happen. Either she will survive Hell Week or she'll die trying, even though she's never gotten up and gotten on a treadmill in her life. I can get her to do it, and I only need to do one simple thing. Just hold a gun to her 5-year-old son's head the whole time. Mm-hmm. That's all I've got to do. That if I tell her, you give up, this child dies. I realize that's a very brutal way to say it. You give up, this child dies. Well, what's she going to do? At what point will she say, I can't do it, go ahead and kill my child?
Right.
She's never going to say that. She's going to either kill herself trying, or she's going to survive. One of the two. So what that means is that she was capable of 10 times more than she ever thought possible, but she'd never been pushed to that limit before.
Right.
Now, granted, we're not going to have somebody showing up every day and putting a gun to her, what's important to us, and nor would we want that. But it just shows us that we are capable of a hell of a lot more. And the biggest obstacle is truly always ourselves. And that's really what this is all about. All I'm here to do is just help people. You know, people often say, dude, so much of what you say resonates with me. And deep down, I feel like I already know this. And I'm like, of course you do. This is not rocket science, man. I'm not telling you some truth that nobody's ever come up with before.
Right.
Because I put it to you this way. If I've said anything to anybody at any time that has helped them change their life and has worked for them, there's no possible way I own it. No way at all. My phrasing might be unique to me, but I don't own it. And therefore, you should never celebrate me or attach me to it. Never confuse the message with the messenger. If this stuff really helps you, it's because it's true in the world. And so, you know, I don't go back to my first grade teacher and hug her because she taught me 2 + 2 = 4.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't know 2 + 2 = 4. She's just a messenger, man. You know, you take the principles, you make them yourselves, you go be a metal motivator where you are in your world and your influence. You don't have to stick around and follow CJ the rest of your life. Man, I'm turning 51 years old this month, all right? We've all had enough heroes in life. We've all had enough little mini gods in life. I'm not anybody's hero. I'm not anybody's legend. I'm not anybody's anything. All I want to do, I love wisdom. I love the principles that create personal change and real achievement. All I want to do is communicate those, see those fired up to live their best life. If I do that, I feel like I fulfilled the purpose the metal gods have put me here.
You know, and heavy metal is one of those things that's, it's still going to be misunderstood by society, and people are either going to love it or they're not going to understand it. And I think one of the things that I think really resonated with me was on your Facebook page, you talked about, you know, the whole debacle with Metallica and Megadeth and all the crazy stuff that happened on the Grammys. And, you know, you were right. I think that, you know, mainstream media doesn't really understand heavy metal.
No, they won't. And, you know, for a lot of us, it's like, you know, we're like, okay, well, then, yeah, that's fine. But it's amazing to me that still to this day, they just don't get it. Even though they're going to take our music and use it for their NASCAR commercials and football games and all that kind of crap, and take the Paul Stanleys and the Gene Simmons and the Nikki Sixes and the whoever the hell and have reality shows. I mean, there's a sense in which metal has crossed into the mainstream culture, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But still, people just don't get it. For example, you know, because it's CJ the Metal Motivator, there's a lot of people who might love what I do, but they'll never give it the time of day.
Mm-hmm.
Just simply because it says metal, you know. Whereas then I can find a metalhead, a hardcore metalhead who considers themselves to be, you know, a metal purist. They look at it and they say, this is bold, man. This dude's using the term metal and all that, and he doesn't like it. So it's not obviously for everybody, but still, I think there is this very gross misunderstanding. And, you know, people think, again, is metal really motivating? Is this stuff even beneficial at all? I said, absolutely, man. It is, to me, the greatest form of music ever. I haven't seen anything in my lifetime, no matter what the musical genre is, that has created the kind of worldwide phenomena that metal has done. You know, I mean, who's the guy that says, heard it once, said one time, who's the guy that says they were into Slayer, you know, back in the summer of 85?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's that guy? I've never met that guy. The guy who was into Slayer in 85 is the guy who's into Slayer still to this day. You know what I mean? Once metal has you, it has you for life, or you were never a metalhead. Period. You know? And you know, I just look at it as an old friend of mine used to say, those to whom you have compassion are those to whom you've been assigned. And I'm obviously going to have more compassion for those who, you know, have the same soundtrack to their life that I do.
Now, do you get people who aren't really into heavy metal? Do you get people like that who reach out to you at all?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. In fact, I just recently spoke at a marketing seminar for a friend and colleague who's an old school metalhead. If you were to look at him, you know, he speaks at all major events and very polished, handsome guy, well-dressed. You wouldn't think he was a metalhead, but he's a total metalhead. And But a lot of those people, if you listen to my videos and stuff, and you just close your eyes and don't look at the person who's there, there's nothing about it that says this is metal. There's no musical background. There's no, there's no track playing in the background. There's no, I'm not talking like a wrestler, there's nothing that you would think would be the obvious giveaways. It's just me. That's all it is. It's just me. So if you listen to it, it's not going to sound any different than, any other professional speaker. So the content, even though, a lot of it is sort of that, if you want to be a badass, you have to kick ass. The first ass you need to kick is your own. It's got that kind of thing. But if you read the articles and into some of the deeper videos, we do get into deeper, sophisticated content. And there's a lot of people who really like it. The other thing, though, is that I have a lot of marketing professionals that follow my page. And I'll go out to speak at their events because not because they need to be motivated. Obviously, they're in the industry. And not because they love heavy metal. They simply follow it because they love how I do it. They see so many effective branding and communications and advertising principles at play for a very targeted audience that they feel like it's very useful for them, to watch, to see how things get done, because they feel like it's just done very professional. Mm-hmm. But that's, that's more so because of my professional background in the business, the other business that I run. So, I combine the gifts together, my love for motivational stuff and speaking and writing, along with my, my advertising and branding communications background. I just put them together. And that's why it's, and I often get people write in and say, I don't know if CJ will see this, but if you they think I have a staff or something. and I don't. So I'm telling them, yeah, you're talking to me. But I think because it does come across with more of a professional feel, people feel like it's more than it is.
Now, for you personally, what are some of your favorite metal bands out there right now, and maybe some of the bands that really have inspired you over the years?
Oh, man. Damn. Well, it's like when they asked Lemmy the question, who are the bands that influence you? And he said, well, you're always going to go back to the ones that you first, listened to. So for him, it was the Beatles and Johnny Cochran and Little Richard and all that sort of stuff. For me, I'm always going to go back to the usual stuff that everybody does. From the newer bands, I love hardcore. So a lot of the hardcore bands turn me on. I dig, of course, I'm always going to love Hatebreed and Madball and Agnostic Front and that kind of stuff. I dig a lot of death metal. Death metal's pretty badass. I just saw Nile the other night, Nile Rules. I like some of the power metal stuff. Still, it's coming out, like Battlecross and Holy Grail and bands like that. I love thrash. Thrash is probably always going to be my favorite. So, bands like Havoc and who was it I was listening to the other day? Now that you asked me, my mind has gone blank.
The new Havoc's pretty awesome, by the way.
It's really freaking badass, yeah. I love Municipal Waste, all that kind of stuff. And, there's so much out there now that it's hard even for me to keep, because a lot of people who, like yourself, who are kind of more focused on the music itself, are much more, attuned to the latest and the greatest. I try to stay as best I can, but obviously, I've got so much other stuff. One thing I don't do is what I see a lot of people my age do, and they're just still all about, which is fine, Metallica, Judas Priest, and Iron Maiden, and all that. You've got to grow beyond that. There's a lot of great metal. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, man, I am so proud of a lot of the younger bands that are coming out, especially the young thrash bands. They got the look, obviously, like we used to have back in the day. But they're just so pure, man, They're just so much heart, and they're so damn good.
Yeah.
I mean, I would still consider Havoc a young band, but damn, they're good, man.
Yeah.
I mean, if they'd have come out back in the day, they'd have been as good or better than the bands, the Metallicas and the Slayers at the time. They're just so stinking good. And, yeah. And they're keeping it alive, man. And we got to celebrate them. We got to support them. We got to buy their stuff. We got to go to their shows. Really, and this probably better than anybody. if we as consumers of the music don't really put our money where our mouth is,
right?
You know, we're not going to be able to keep this around at the level that it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
These bands need to be supported, man. These bands have got to be supported.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, a band that really shocked me as far as, you know, with the new Creator album, and I don't know if you've checked it out.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, absolutely, man.
they charted number one in Germany. And, you know, I was interviewing a band. I was actually interviewing Hansi, the singer at Blind Guardian. We were talking about, you know, we were talking about the Noise Records book that is coming out. And, you know, he's like, you know, Creator was number one over here. And sure enough, you know, it doesn't shock me because the album is great. But the fact that they charted number one, I would never have thought that band would have ever achieved something like that.
No, and I'm, you know, tell you what, man, I mean, speaking of bands like that, you know, of course, you know, everybody's going to fight over Metallica, so I kind of leave that subject aside. but you know, I'll tell you what, I saw them the other night in Anaheim, I saw Overkill in Nile.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm proud as hell of Overkill and Testament, because they just keep putting out just badass albums. They just keep writing, you know. There's no ego there. They just keep putting out good stuff. So, yeah. And the new Creator's badass. I love the last album, you know.
Yeah.
Fan of Antichrist. And, you know, but now I'll tell you what, though, man. I saw Creator on the last album tour in Dallas. And, you know, at a fairly good-sized venue. Dude, they almost blew my damn eardrums. I didn't, you know, I've never brought, you know, earplugs to a show before that was loud.
You know, it's like, you know, I've seen them live before, and, you know, I had earplugs in and it didn't seem loud, but my head was vibrating, you know, after I saw Creator play live one time.
Yeah, it took 2 maybe 3 days for it to finally go away. I was concerned. I was like, damn, did I really do some damage? It was loud as hell, man. But no, they rule, dude. And, you know, again, to me, that's the thing. Is, I mean, I don't follow too many other genres of music, so I don't know. I mean, does anybody get excited? Do they have a bunch of people that get super excited about the next Al Di Meola album? I don't know, you know. Do people get excited about, you know, some country singer? Is there a cult following? I don't know. I just know that in metal, we sit there and as soon as word gets out that so-and-so is in the studio, that album may be another year and a half before it ever comes out, but we're talking about it every day until then.
Right.
I just don't know any other genre of music or community or culture that's just this damn passionate.
Right.
And, yeah, if that's not motivating, I don't know what the hell is, in all honesty.
You know, I see a lot of kids, too, that, no, 16, 17 years old buying vinyl, and you see a lot of younger people supporting the music that way.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, but, you know, like I've got kids that are, well, I say kids, I mean, they're in their 20s, late 20s. A lot of them they're not really all that into social media, and they got their vinyl, and it's funny, they're kind of, in a way, you know, we kind of talk about this next generation like they're the ones with their heads buried in their phones. Fuck that, we are. You know, we're the ones who are all, you know, reconnecting with high school friends on Facebook, and we, you know, first it was kids on there, then we took over, everybody's like, well, the parents are on here, so we're out, and they went to Instagram, then we flooded that, and they're out of that, you know. They went to Snapchat, then we flooded that, now they're out of that. And yeah, man, I mean, I think because they grew up around this stuff, they are appreciating, you know, because there's a lot more, you know, visual and audio and video record of our days. You know, everybody would say, man, I wish I would have been around in the 80s. You know, people say that all the time. And I'm like, well, you're damn right. I mean, that was when metalheads ruled the earth. And it was a fantastic time to be alive. But they appreciate these things. And they're going back to getting a hold of it. And I think, you know, we need to take heed to some of that and make sure that we don't lose touch in a lot of ways. But I've been, you know, when it comes to metal, I mean, people can go on and on about millennials and other areas of life and culture. But as far as metal goes, you know, millennials are the lifeblood. of the metal community. The bands and the fans, dude. I mean, I like I said, went to the Overkill show in Anaheim, and there was a lot of young people there. And they were they had patches on their jackets and high tops and hair everywhere and banging their heads and drunk as hell. And I was like, damn, man, it's just like we were. That's badass. They don't look at us as something to get away from or old. No, they're like, we want to be like they were. I just think, I mean, again, find me another form of music where that happens.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I see young kids at shows, at thrash metal shows, wearing the old school stuff that people used to wear. I mean, you're wearing a jean jacket with the leather vest over top of it. I'm sorry, the leather jacket with the vest over top of it with all the buttons. And they got the skinny jeans over some high tops. I mean, you know, I saw one kid at a thrash metal show, and he was actually 13, and his parents brought him there.
Totally, dude. I mean, my kids grew up, they love metal. They, you know, it's just, yeah, I mean, anybody who's a true metalhead has done everything they could to invest that and instill that in their own kids.
Right.
You know, it's something you want to pass along. And again, I mean, I love rock and roll. Don't get me wrong, you know, but, you know, metal is my music. And there's just something about it. It never was a destructive force for me. Obviously, hanging out in any scene where there's alcohol and drugs and whatever, you can get yourself into trouble no matter what, but it's not the music. You know, like one guy said, he said, dude, I learned more about history from Iron Maiden than I did my Western Civ class. And, you know, it's true, man. You know, it's metal is just that diverse. And, you know, I love the serious, complicated stuff, but also, dude, man, I love the municipal waste. You know, I love an Iron Reagan. Damn. You know, I like it. I still like it simple. Thrash, you know, Havoc still has that kind of thing, just that kind of Exodus chanting thing. And it's just, you know, it's a great time still to be a metalhead, which is why, again, I think it can go away if, you know, if we don't do, like I said, everything we can to keep investing in these bands. And, you know, obviously you can go see shows and all that, but to buy their shirts, man, buy their CDs, you know, whatever you got to do, keep the music going.
Well, you know, CJ, I really thank you for coming on my show and doing this interview. I think it was great of you to do something like that. Do you have any last words to all the metal fans that are going to be checking us out? And, you know, again, plug your website, plug where you could find your stuff and, you know, really plug your website, your Facebook page, and, you know, give any last words you do have for the metalheads that are going to be checking this out.
What you've got to remember, that you're the greatest enemy you're ever going to have is the one that stares at you in the mirror. And you have so much more personal power in you than you can possibly realize, and it's closer than your own nose. You don't have to wait to feel better about yourself. You don't have to, people think that if I can just achieve a certain level of success, if I could just have the perfect person or the perfect job or the perfect house or the perfect this or the perfect that, then I'll be happy. No, man, because if people think, like, if you finally get those things that, like, you know, ambulance drivers are going to show up and start injecting you with happiness because now you have all these things. No, what will happen is when you reach that level, you'll finally give yourself permission to be happy. But you've always had the power inside you.
Right.
You've always had the ability inside you. And I just want to encourage people, man, that as you go and I want you to go to my website, go to metalmotivation.com today. You can also go to facebook.com/metalmotivation and Instagram @metalmotivator. And when you go in there, realize that that's the kind of worldview you're going to get from me. That's the kind of message you're going to get from me. So if you're a metalhead and you're fired up about metal and you want to do something great with your life, or you want to change your life, you want to get past some stuff in your life, man, I encourage you to get plugged in, because I'd love to have your support. I'd love to see you there, man. I think we could do great, great things together.
Yeah, CJ, you know, again, you know, there's an old saying that I've gone by is you can't have a $1 million dream with a minimum wage work ethic, and you'll never achieve that. And really, it all starts with you. Happiness can be a choice. And even when the circumstances are bad, at least if you try to change them, you know, life will start getting better. even though you can't change everything all at once.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly, man. And yeah, it does come down to you. It does come down to the price that you're willing to pay, because the path, the road to greatness is blocked with altars of sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but life is beckoning you. It beckons you to come out and ride those waves if you dare. There's opportunity, but there's also the possibility of setback and hindrance. And a lot of people are afraid. But just know that fear is probably the most powerful yet powerless force you'll ever face. Mm-hmm. It's powerful enough to keep you back, but it's powerless all at the same time. And, you know, like I said earlier, the clock is ticking on the only life you've got, man. There is no do-over. You can make it happen now.